time now for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on campus, off campus, online, and beyond. Carolina Public Humanities is in charge of putting on a lot of these events on and around campus and online. You can find out more about them at humanities.unc.edu. To the end of the semester on campus, so they're planning ahead for the spring, we're joined here in the studio by Joanna Smith of Carolina Public Humanities to catch us up on what they're planning for the spring, to talk about the rituals surrounding holidays as we're getting into that time. We are into that time of the year. When is holiday season? Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. When does holiday season actually begin for you? Because like some people date it to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Some people say Halloween. Like when does it start?
I feel like it creeps up on me mid-November.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it creeps up on me mid-December. I'm like, oh man, we've been in this season for 2 weeks. It's when you first hear that Mariah Carey song.
Yes.
That's it. That's
and
the official
first
start.
And you're not angry about it.
So your research, we've talked about this before, is about religion and its impact on just society and culture. And obviously a lot of the traditions and the rituals and the celebrations around holiday season. I mean, holiday is holy day, so religion has a lot to do with this. So what should we know? How should we understand
it? It sure does. So as a scholar of religion, a question that I find myself asking is about what makes rituals work.
Mm-hmm.
And so a word we use in religious studies is efficacious ritual. What makes a ritual efficacious? And so looking at meal-based rituals like Thanksgiving, like so many folks, Hanukkah or Christmas celebrations, what makes that meal different than other meals? And for some people, there's a very explicitly religious answer to that. It's about specific prayers being said in the right order. It's about the food being prepared according to certain ritual guidelines. But for many folks, it's about a specific group of people being there or specific foods being cooked or about the intention that everyone is bringing to the table. And so with this, of course, being a holiday season like no other, I've been finding myself asking increasingly, what makes these rituals efficacious, especially if we can't have those people gathered around the table who we expect to see?
We had this conversation, not you and I, but I had this conversation actually. I wasn't even in on the conversation. I listened to other people having a conversation earlier this year, and these were experts from Duke University on religion, talking about that very question with regard to church services, whether it's masses or just rituals of getting together every week. Now we can't do that. So what does mass mean? What does a church service mean when we're all on Zoom or not together in the same place? Like, is it the same thing? It's a fascinating question.
It's such an important question, and I think when you introduce food into it, which is such a tangible, elemental way of connecting with people, it gets even thornier. I mean, just in the, you know, the few minutes before you and I started talking, you mentioned a virtual banquet, you mentioned a virtual cooking demonstration. We're trying to connect over food even when we're not at the same table.
Yeah. The work to make that banquet possible for the NAACP, it's really interesting, like just how far out of their way they went to really bring food into it and to connect everyone to the food that we would otherwise have been sharing in the same room together. Like, it really is an important part of any get together or any event.
It really is. And I think even if we think back to an era before, you know, Zoom banquets, folks were using
food.
Although
it was many, many days ago.
It was many days ago. Folks were already using food to connect with people who they weren't together with. And so even this year, I've heard of friends doing this, of cooking for themselves and their wife and their solo little Thanksgiving, cooking their mom's cassoulet recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Making that aunt's sweet potato pie that they complain about every year, but it turns out it really means something to them. And I think food is still a beautiful way to bridge those distances with flavor, with smell, and with the ritual process of cooking.
I imagine one of the things that makes a ritual efficacious or a holiday efficacious is the fact that it means different things to different people, right? Like, I think about Christmas and Thanksgiving as being specialer holidays because those were the two holidays where my entire extended family would get together. Like, I don't think about Easter that way. I don't think about the 4th of July that way or Halloween that way, because Thanksgiving and Christmas, those were the huge family get-together days. And that's what it means for me and for other people at specific prayers and for other people at specific foods. And the fact that it means different things for different people, but we all come together in different ways around the same thing, is part of what makes it special and lasting and meaningful. But then in this particular case, like, all of those things are up in the air this year, right?
They are all up in the air. But I think you're absolutely right about that, that the way we celebrate holidays is so individual. And in America specifically, I think it reflects an astonishing diversity. You know, you have, if you ask 10 people what a Christmas Eve meal looks like, you're going to get 10 dramatically different answers.
Yeah. One of which is, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
Christmas is the important day.
Exactly. Yeah. Christmas is the day when we go get Chinese food, or Christmas is the day when I watch TV like any other day.
And so both. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. So although, you know, I'm generally a little suspicious of the idea of America as a melting pot, I think that can cover up a lot of sins. But when we look at food, we do see this, like, this really captivating diversity reflected back.
Yeah. So speaking with Joanna Spither, we're talking about this partly because this is your bread and butter. Like, this
it
is
really
bread
is,
and butter.
Yeah.
There's another food thing. Your research, but you also just did an event on this last week, which we didn't get a chance to talk to you, but there was an event that CPH did on rituals and holidays, right?
You know, there wasn't, but I think that's a great idea for us to keep in the bank for next year.
Was there not? I thought that was something that happened last week.
I think it's just been on
our
minds.
Okay, that's
about.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. I started the sentence, and then you're like, no, this is not happening. You are completely wrong.
I wish. I mean, you're making me wish I had set up that event.
So what else does this particular holiday season, like, how does this affect your thinking about the way that we understand holidays? Like, we're all we're not able to celebrate the rituals that we all take for granted, but we're all, like, keeping the traditions in our own weird ways. Like, how does this change what you have thought about holidays and rituals?
So, you know, I've been thinking a bit with Thanksgiving. I was thinking about the history of Thanksgiving, which, of course, is a whole tangled knot.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think often gets left out of stories about Thanksgiving is that days of Thanksgiving were holidays that were never set on the calendar until the 1800s, but instead were called kind of spontaneously, often in response to a good harvest, in response to a military victory. And of course, with having Thanksgiving set on the calendar now, I think a lot of Americans this year kind of threw up their hands and said, well, what do I have to be thankful for? I'm sure I can generate something, but it's going to take some work. And so part of me looks at that and says, you know, I hope that when there is a vaccine, when things feel resolved, that we, you know, if not in a formal way, in our own little private ways, are able to celebrate a spontaneous holiday.
Yeah.
But I'm also really struck by how holidays that are set on the calendar, that are going to happen whether it's a great year or a terrible year, are also moments where we can see a lot of resilience. And there are some amazing examples of this. I'm thinking of Jewish prisoners in concentration camps who managed to find enough wheat that they could make matzah and each have one little matzah ball. And that just being able to mark the holiday in the midst of the most horrific situation imaginable really was a source of strength, was a way to connect to the past and to hope for the future.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of that around
us. And the fact that in those moments we think to do that, like,
right,
it's so important to us that even when we're struggling for survival, like, let's struggle for survival in this particular way.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Food and the ritual of holidays are such a powerful way of tying people together and of affirming communal identity.
Yeah, whether you're doing it on Zoom or any other way,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
So again, speaking with Joanna Smith, so looking forward to, since we're already all looking forward to next year, and I love the idea of, like, anticipatory gratitude. Like, I'm grateful for the vaccine that's going to come.
Yes,
right? I'm grateful
absolutely.
For the eventuality of being able to go to restaurants and on vacation and things like that again. I like that.
Yeah.
But what is coming up next year for Carolina Public Humanities? What are you planning?
So we've got some fantastic seminars in the works. We are going to have one that is going to just be a chance for us to kind of escape to imaginary worlds. And we'll be looking at that, you know, religious imaginaries and literary imaginaries. We'll be looking at film. So that should be really fun. That'll be coming up, I believe, in either late January or in February. We'll also be doing one on animals and on how we can think differently with animals and how looking closely at animals, relating differently to animals, makes us think differently about our own humanity. So that's one I'm very excited about. And one other that I would plug is a seminar on religious freedom in a global perspective, where we'll be looking at a few different case studies and bringing them all into conversation.
Fantastic. Again, get online and look up humanities.unc.edu for more from Carolina Public Humanities as we're in winter break right now, but coming up in January, a lot around the corner, and they've got a lot of information about it already on the website. Joanna, thank you so much for being with us today, as always.
Thank you.